I'm going to float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. George can't hit what his hands can't see. Now you see me, now you don't. He think he will, but I know he won't. They tell me George is good, but I'm twice as nice. And I'm going to stick to his butt like white on rice.
Was that Peter McNeely or Ali?
All right. You know what? I can see what you're saying now, because in today's, like, getting up and delivering a scripted poem these days would be corny, but it was a different time back then. There was all kinds of stuff back then that was, it was just a different standard.
It was cool back then.
Like, you would, like, that was the era of variety shows on television. There was almost like a higher standard for what kind of art you would put out there. You wouldn't just get out there and blather on the radio for 4 hours with hot sports takes. You'd sit down and you'd read a script. So likewise, when a boxer got up and had a memorized poem, it was art. Where today that would be corny. I understand that. Now you get more cred for your freestyle skills. Yeah.
It's time to play the game that is sweeping the nation, despite the fact it's never been played before. What's the right move? If you want to play along, 713-572-4610. I'm simply going to ask the question, what's the right move? We're going to go through some sports scenarios, some life scenarios, and I'm going to ask Seth Payne, what is the right move? And we start with the Houston Texans. There are some whispers on the internet and maybe even on some national TV shows that J.J. Watt should take a pay cut for the Houston Texans next season.
Oh.
You play the role of the shot caller for the Houston Texans when it comes to J.J. potentially taking a pay cut. Seth Payne, what's the right move?
There are multiple reasons that you don't ask a guy to take a pay cut. A lot of times you just can't predict whether the guy's going to hold a grudge against you, and that ends up being a locker room distraction. You either got to just cut a guy completely, or you've got to ask it. And within reason, sometimes the writing is on the wall. The problem is also this. What if JJ does come back and is one of the better defensive players in the NFL? You know, until he proves that he can't come back and do that, I don't think necessarily the pay cut is warranted. I know he's made a whole lot of money to not play a whole lot of football games, but it's like JJ's not the guy. DeAndre's not the guy. Andre Johnson, while he was still in his peak playing years, wouldn't have been the guy. It's just not the right time to do that.
All right, you're cuddled up on the couch watching a movie with a girl that you just started talking to, and suddenly you feel the urge to pass gas. What's the right move?
I can't believe this one is even on here. You leave. You go to the bathroom, and or you go to the kitchen. You go somewhere where she's definitely not going to follow you in, and you get rid of it. And then you clean up as well as you can. Hopefully, maybe you've got some of those wipes. This is a girl that you just started dating.
Well, let's say it's like your third date.
Yeah,
and you're
no.
Up
like hygiene is always important, but there's never more important a time for hygiene than right then. You got to. You can't take this risk. If you have to get up 4 times during the movie, let her think you're a coke addict. It doesn't matter. Just don't fart in front of her. Not yet.
Landry Locker and Seth Payne on Mad Radio. Mike Meltzer taking care of some business. Playing What's the Right Move? 713-572-4610 if you want to get in. Dallas Keuchel will be a 30-year-old free agent after the upcoming season. Despite the wear and tear, he will be very expensive for the Astros to keep. For the Houston Astros, what's the right move?
I've been in deep, deep, deep denial about all of this for a long time. And even as we started bringing it up, once he hired Boris as his agent, you can see the writing on the wall for where this is going. He's going to get a huge, huge contract. And the Astros are in the enviable position of just having too many good players to keep them all. I didn't want to come to this conclusion. I didn't want to have to accept that it
would
happen.
You're about to make me so proud.
You're just going to have to say goodbye. You're likely going to have to say goodbye to Dallas Keuchel, and you just hope that you get the very best out of him before that happens.
All right, you're right.
I want him to go on and do well elsewhere.
Right, you wish him the best.
But you hope he has a great season here if that's what's
He'll always be a champion. You're at the mall with the kids doing some last-minute Christmas shopping, and the line for the kids to sit in Santa's lap is over 2 hours. What is the right move?
I don't know what the right parenting move actually is, but the most expeditious thing to do is to go ahead and bribe your kid. Just be like, oh, you know what? We could do this, or we could go buy that toy you've been wanting or something like that. That's probably a horrible parenting move, but I am all about getting myself out of miserable situations like that. I wouldn't tell my wife that's what I was going to do, but that is what I would do.
But the wife would want the picture. Right?
I don't know. We're not all that sentimental about that stuff. Okay. We'd go find a Salvation Army dude or something.
I have a picture. I have a picture of me in Santa Claus's lap up to like 23.
Oh, 23. Oh, you did that?
Well, this is the thing. After a while, my stepdad and my mom would give me $100 just to use for like Christmas money to get people gifts. So it would basically just be a joke where I would sit in it when I would come home from college.
That was the gift every year.
Yeah, I think it was like my third sophomore year of college I stopped doing it.
Plus, if you wait until closer to Christmas, the lines go down.
I think you need to do it right away. No,
really?
Oh, I think so.
Do people get in the last minute Santa trips?
Yeah, oh yeah, it's absolute chaos. Chaos out there. Wife looks really bad or really tacky in an outfit before you guys go out to dinner and asks your opinion. What's the right move?
Is there a time constraint?
No.
Because I hate being late. There's no time constraint?
No, you got about 10 minutes before you got to leave.
You can't. You're in it for the long term, and you have to maintain credibility and in the most polite way you can. Much like when you would coach somebody, it's never best to say like this is what's bad. It's usually best to like, hey, let's improve this. Let's get this better, and it becomes like, you know what? I think that other outfit looks better on you. Worst case scenario is if that's the only outfit there is, and it's an event you have to go to. You might have to fudge a little bit in that situation, but that's why in all the other situations, it's critical that you be as honest and yet tactful as possible so you can load up for the one moment where, look, you're going to a work event. You absolutely have to be there. That's the only outfit she can wear. She'll believe you in that moment.
National or local broadcast.
But she's always beautiful. There's nothing. There's no outfit that could make her look bad.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Allegedly. National or local broadcast to watch the Rockets. What's the right move?
Well, look, and this isn't throwing shade at anybody at all. I just like watching the national broadcast because it's a different voice. You watch 75 games or however. Well, shoot, the Rockets have a bunch of national games this year. You watch 65 games with the local dudes. It's nice to hear somebody else. Plus, it's just nice to hear Jeff Van Gundy or Hubie Brown or Chris Webber or one of those guys talk about your team and get their hot takes about them all game long.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to sacrifice the inside of Clyde Drexler. Going out on New Year's or house parties. What's the right move? On New Year's Eve, would you rather go to a house party
or like a $400 an event? A house party, always. House party, it depends if you have a date or not. I guess if you don't have a date, then
That's better, right?
What's that?
Because all the girls want to kiss at house parties and stuff like that.
It's a more relaxed environment.
Right.
But there's also more chance that whoever you kiss at midnight, there ends up being complications afterwards because you got common acquaintances and everything.
Maybe.
I think
or you could just say you're drunk.
If I weren't married, didn't have a date, I think I might want to be out in a restaurant or a club.
Sometimes
or one
those bars that you go to all the time try to charge like $100 though. It's tough. Getting out of awkward, uninteresting, or uncomfortable conversations at the company Christmas party. What's the right move?
Oh, like how awkward? Like
you're in a group.
Like I just bought a toy from like Warren Sapp awkward.
Like
or?
you're at a Christmas party and let's say there's a couple people from sales you don't want to be around. How do you escape the conversation?
I think it's easier at work parties. I've always struggled with this. Have you ever been at a party where you realize that you're the person that the other person's trying to figure out a way to get away from? Like, just when somebody,
really?
Some people are, well, no, people are good minglers. Like, some people are professional minglers. Like, they're going to spend 3 minutes with each person.
Right.
And then they find a way to move on.
I don't feel like people
are
trying to get away from you. I feel like it's the opposite.
It's not.
I've been to two Christmas parties with you, and that's what I feel like.
Well, with me?
Yeah.
Well, no, in general, but there have been times where I've been too drunk where I can realize that, like, oh, boy, this is not going well. This is not a, and, like, I almost want to give the person an avenue to get the hell out of there, so I break away from the conversation. The biggest thing at a work party, it's easier because there's always somebody that you should be talking to or that you had to talk about, so you excuse yourself. I always try to pull somebody in. If I'm with talking one-on-one with somebody and it's time to get away, I try to pull somebody else into the conversation. And then as soon as those two engage, I get the hell out. But I'm not very good at this. Edward, do you have any tips for this? For just breaking yourself, like actually professionally mingling at a party?
I say moonwalk out.
You just walk right out?
Moonwalk.
You just flat out turn around and leave?
Moonwalk, not corny.
A lot of times. Now, this would be my little piece of life advice. Yeah. A lot of times, if you find yourself stuck in conversation, it's with somebody who it's not a good conversation because that person doesn't pick up on social cues to begin with. Those people aren't offended when you do something socially inappropriate. Like, if you find yourself having a conversation with somebody that's just like, they're one of those people that just doesn't get interaction. Like, they just don't understand it. You can just moonwalk out of there. You just walk away and they won't be offended because they don't get these things. They don't, like, get offended. Like, a normal person, when they say something and it offends somebody, they pick up on that. These people don't pick up on that. So you can just leave and it's no big deal.
All right, this is the final one. We're playing What's the Right Move with Seth Payne. Some pretty good advice so far from you. Someone you don't know that well has a booger in their nose. What's the right move?
You can't say a thing. You can't do
anything.
You
just let it go?
Yeah, because that person just has to, when they walk away, they're going to check a mirror. They're going to see. Well, two things are going to happen. One, they might not notice that they have a booger right away. So they won't be embarrassed over the interaction. They might go on and have like three more transactions with various people before they realize that they had the booger. So you won't be associated with their embarrassment. The second would be is that they see the booger, but in their minds, they have to convince themselves there's a chance that you didn't see it. So they can put themselves, they can sleep better at night by convincing themselves that you didn't see the booger, even though you definitely saw that booger.
How well do you have to know someone to tell them that they have BO?
I thought you were going to say booger. Booger, it's real easy. Booger, it's like if you're just kind of casual.
Yeah, if you're friends. But
like,
what if someone has BO? You can't say anything.
I'll tell you what, I'm batting zero on ever telling anybody they have BO. I've never had to do it. There's times I've wanted to do it. Have you done it?
Nah, I mean.
Like, and not temporary BO. Not like, whew, you stink. Hey, you stink every day.
It has to be immediate family, really good friend or significant other for me to tell them that they smell.
Did you ever worry about this? Like, there was a family that rode the bus with me, and I was like, you know, like, I'm the stupid nice kid on the bus that wouldn't like shun this kid. The whole family stunk. Like, they stunk bad. The whole damn family did.
There's no hope then.
And I would, like, the kid, sometimes when my buddy wasn't on the bus with me, this kid would come and sit next to me. Like, nobody else would let him sit next to him, but I didn't want to be a jerk, so he'd sit next to me. So, like, I withstood that. That was, like, a 45-minute bus ride every morning in the cold with the heat cranked on the bus. But then I would fear, like, what if my family stinks like this? What if we all stink and you would never notice it? Like, I wouldn't notice that my brother or my sister stink.
It's just normal to him.
I think I'm pretty sure. Are you trying to work up to tell me something?
No.
Oh, all right.
Not at all.
Okay, good. I feel better about that.